Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. So glad to be here with you this evening. We're going to be together just for a while here and sharing this time during our consecration. This is the third gathering that we're having during the consecration. This is day 8 of a 21-day consecration, and we're going to be having some conversation that's going to prepare us for the wonders that the Father is desiring to take his sons into. We're going to have some conversations tonight about consecration, the road to wonders. Listen, if you have not already invited somebody to this gathering, I want you to take just a few moments to invite somebody to the gathering right now. We're going to give you just a few moments to get it, maybe at least two or three people on the line with us tonight. Get two or three people around your computer, around your device, however you want to do it. Send the invite to them. If you're on this live, send the invite to at least two or three people. We want to get you in the room tonight because I believe that there's a word that's going to change your life tonight. I believe that every word from Yah is meant to change the life, to change the trajectory, the direction, the course of sons. And no matter what direction you've been going, tonight there is a word that is going to do a course correction to the direction that you've been going in. So get just a few people on the line tonight, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to open up and start sharing what the Father has given us to share. I believe it's going to be exciting. Come on and go with me. All right, all right. It's so good to be here with you again. We're glad to be back on Blog Talk Radio. It's been about a year since we've been here and sharing. We've been doing many other things. We've been on some other platforms doing some things. But we're going to come back to this platform and begin to share as the Father is giving us to share. We are in a really crucial time. We're in a really crucial time, and I'm excited about what the Father is saying to his sons. I'm excited about the direction that he is giving the sons in this season. There is an instruction, and this is what consecration is really all about. We're going to go through some of the quotes that the Father gave me this week as well. I'm going to read some of those to you for the week, and we'll make sure that next week we come in with the quotes from the week so we can share those as highlights to let you know what the Father has been saying during that time, so that we'll have an identification on what his desire is and what his direction is for us. Again, consecration is simply about instruction. And we're going to talk about that some tonight as we're going into this discussion tonight. But I want to just take just a few moments just to get in to the presence of our Father and in just some communication, which we also call prayer, right? We want to communicate the desire of the Father concerning the broadcast tonight. We want to communicate the desire towards the sons tonight, as the Father has a desire towards the sons to bring them into illumination. He has a desire for your eyes to be open and for you to understand and to have revelation about purpose. And so tonight we want to just kind of tarry there just for a moment and have a conversation about what tonight's direction is about. Father, we give you praise tonight. We thank you for this time that you've called us to, and we thank you for the consecration. We're thankful tonight that you have chosen this time. It's a very strategic time. Anytime you're calling for something, you are about a strategy. You have designed a strategy that is going to bring us into a place that you're calling us into. You're bringing us into a divine placement. And often that place that you're calling us into sometimes require us to be inconvenienced, because we have kind of settled in these places in our hearts and our minds about our comfort and about our convenience. And so we're thankful tonight that you are the God that is bigger than that place of discomfort that we're sitting in when you're calling us out of a place. And we'll kind of talk about it tonight, but even as it was with Abraham, he was in a comfortable place. He was in his father's home. He was in the land of his nativity, where he was born, or even not just where he was born, but where they had come to, but he was with the people that he was born to. And so that was a very familiar place, but you called him out of that place. And I believe tonight that you are desiring to speak to sons on a level that is calling them out of their comforts and their conveniences to come into a specific covenant that's going to take us to a promised place. A place that we have, many of us have dreamed about or dreamt of. Many of us have seen visions and heard conversations about, but we've walked through life just a little bit. And in us walking through life, we've made some turns and some about faces, and we've gone in some different directions. But I believe tonight that some of the things that you're going to share with us, and we are open to receive of this conversation that's concerning the consecration, that's going to bring us into the wonders, because this is the preparation. All that we've been through, all that we have faced, is about the preparation that's going to bring us to this destination that you're calling us to. And so tonight we yield ourselves, we yield our vessels, we're yielding our hearts, we're yielding our minds to your will and to your way, because we want to hear what you have to say, because we know that one word from you changes everything. There is no way we can come into your presence and leave the same, because you're the God that said that when you come into my presence, as you see me, you'll become as you see. You know, every time you look upon me, every time you're in my presence, every time that I am releasing something to you, there is something more that you're becoming. This is the kind of God that you are. And so we're thankful tonight that you're calling us into your presence, that you're calling us into a conversation so that there will be a transformation in our lives. We are ever grateful for what you're doing and for what you've already done. When I say doing, it's already something that you've done, but we are walking through the process of those doings, and we're arriving at a place. And so we're thankful tonight for the finality of this thing that you have already finished concerning us, for the outcomes that you have already set up for us. And all we have to do is be able to hear and to adhere to what you are speaking to us. We thank you tonight for everybody that's listening, those that are in the U.S., those that are across the waters in the various places that they are listening from, India. They're listening to us in all kinds of places, in Nigeria. They are listening to us in different places. If I try to start naming all the places that you guys are listening from, and maybe I'll go gather it real quick. Maybe I'll pull it up because I don't want to leave anybody out tonight. We want you to know that we appreciate the fact that you are listening to us, that you take the time to hear and to listen in and to be a part of these broadcasts. I'm going to go directly to it because I just want to mention those countries that are actually listening in to us, to our broadcast, and have always listened in. There are several that I'm not seeing right now, but that's just because we haven't been on. But let's just name a few. The United Kingdom, the UK, is listening in. Germany is listening in. Nigeria, I mentioned you. Also, India is listening in. I mentioned you. China is listening in tonight. Also, Australia is listening in tonight. And so we're thankful tonight for all of these different places that are listening to the broadcast. And Father, we thank you tonight that your heart is set towards your sons, that your heart is for your people. When there are many hearts that are not for the people, we know that just you have plans for your sons. And just like you have plans and thoughts for a good and an expected end, there's something that you've already set up for us that is good, that is a completed place, that is a place of wonder and a place of amazement for us, that the enemy is also set up or attempting to set up strategic checkpoints to cause us to go in another direction. And so we are thankful tonight that your heart is set on us. We're thankful tonight that your heart is set on us. We're thankful for all of those that are listening in America, all of those that are listening, and all of the U.S. is lit up. So we've got people listening from all across the U.S. tonight. And so we're thankful for that. Father, give us a word in season that will help those that are weary, because I can understand that there's a lot going on in the earth and there's a lot of things that are being, there are a lot of things that are being initiated and a lot of things that are kind of being stirred in people. Fear is one of them. Doubt and disbelief is another. Just weariness. You know, just tiredness of things as they are. But I believe that you're bringing us into a place of expansion in this season. And this is simply the platform for that expansion. So we glorify you now because we call it done. And we know that it's so because you've spoken it. Thank you, Father. I'm excited tonight. I couldn't even begin to tell you all of the things that the Father has been sharing. But I'm going to do my best to share just some of the simple things that he has shared with me. And some of those things, we're going to go, let's start with day eight. I'm going to go over some of these conversations that he's been having with me during the week regarding the consecration, but I'm also going to start with these simple facts. This is the time of year that people begin to actually make declarations. This is one of the conversations that he wanted to have. And we know that those declarations are often called resolutions. This is about their desire for future manifestations, right? They call those resolutions. And it's really nothing wrong with a re-solution. I like breaking words down. He often gives me to break a word down. The re is at the beginning. That's the prefix. And then solution is at the end of that word. So I want you to just kind of marinate over that conversation just for a minute. But the resolution, it's an inclination of mankind because of how we were created in the image and the likeness of our Creator to declare the end from the beginning of a thing. This is what the Father does. And I just want you to see the likeness. I want you to identify with how your function, how we function, and see that functioning in our Father. You know, whether you adhere or honor him as that, there is a functioning that humankind, that mankind, there's a way that we function that is just like our Creator, okay? And there are some variances in there that differentiate what spirit we're functioning in, but there are things, those are those principal and foundational things that we function in that are, you know, as a result of the fact that he is our creator. And one of those things is declaring the end from the beginning. Now, it's funny because we don't really have a problem declaring a negative outcome, you know, because it seems like it's easier to do when you don't recognize a thing for what it is, when you really can't see it for what it is. So just saying, oh, well, it'll never happen, or, oh, well, this will never be that way, or I'm hopeful about that, but I don't really, not really putting any stock in it. All of these things are a result of our not understanding or having clarity of what the Father's desire for us as our Creator is. And so we begin to speak from these places. But understand that when we're having those conversations, we're setting up stations of manifestation for our future. And so where we are located right now is a result of what our conversation was yesterday. Let's get back to the resolution right now. The resolution is often the thing that people do at the beginning of the year because they recognize that there are some things that they need to come into. That's just plain and simple. Listen, if it's weight loss, if it's financial, if it's relational, if it's emotional, if it's your health, whatever it is, if it's exercise, whatever it is that you have recognized that you've been lacking in another season, now you're coming into the next season with a conversation because you want to have this resolution about where you have not been successful at or where you need to find success at going into your future, right? Well, the thing that determines whether it's actually a resolution or just a conversation is the dedication that you're going to have to it. So he created us in his likeness and his image. We're declaring the end from the beginning by having a resolution or a resolution to the problem. And the problem is not in the declaration of the resolute, purposeful conversation. It's the fact that it's not completed through the determination and the unwavering position, which is in fact the definition of resolution. Okay? That's the actual definition. It's an unwavering determination, okay? So it's ultimately just a conversation without a commitment. Many people haven't even, they haven't really made resolutions because a resolution is a determined and purposeful, unwavering position. And the problem is that many of us like to have the conversation, but we don't want to put the determination that goes with the conversation to make it the resolution. And what that resolution is, or what it is a setup for producing something. Okay. When we begin to have the conversation, and we're still talking about consecration, I know it's kind of difficult because our definition of things sometimes lends us to miss the point of what the conversation really is about. At the end of the day, this consecration is about giving us the resolution to where we need to be walking into, where we need to start producing that, okay? So the resolution comes out of the consecration, and the consecration is the commitment or the dedication to a thing that is needful to produce what's coming after it. So you set up the conversation by going into it resolutely, which is a determined and unwavering position. After that determined unwavering position, now it requires some action. And that's the thing. You know, these words that we're releasing in a season require action. So let me go back to this. And I want to say this before we even get started. I dreamt this. And I'm going to let you know prophetically that something good is on the horizon for us. As I was typing out some things and typing out some things that the Father wanted to have a conversation with us tonight about, I got to a specific place. And the place that I got to was this place where I said, something extreme is happening for sons. Something extravagant is forming. And when I got there, I wrote this dedication/consecration. Consecrate yourselves today. Get yourselves in the frame of mind to expect. See, it's about expectation. It's not the act of doing, but the state of being. It's not just about doing a thing or just saying a thing. It's the state of being that you're in. Because what we do as sons is we are speaking or we are acting out of our being. And so this is why it's often really difficult for people to perform what they are claiming as resolute, because they haven't become that thing yet. They have not yet become the solution. So they're not able to re-salute or resolute the thing because they have not become the solution yet. They're still pondering, or they're still not committed to, or they're still not prioritizing. And I'm going to tell you right now, this thing about consecration, again, it positions us to have the identity of the fact that this thing is a thing of importance, and it's a thing that is given to us to act out. It's a thing that's given to us to act out. So we're going to deal with the mind of consecration again, because this is really important, because Yah is calling his sons to consecration for the actualization of wonders. And, you know, something good is happening, I'm telling you. As I was sitting here jotting down these notes, and I was remembering different phrases that I actually dreamt. I actually was in a dream, and I remember that after this particular phrase about something extreme is happening for sons and something extravagant is forming, after that phrase, and I promise you, I feel the Holy Ghost right now, after that phrase, after I saw that phrase, after I typed it and I went back and looked at it, the dream came back to my mind, and I could not remember the good thing that was going to happen, but I promise you, I'm looking in my email when I get off this call. I'm waiting on phone calls. I'm waiting on a response. I'm waiting on something that's supposed to be happening in my environment that's going to produce as a result of the dedication in the areas that he's called me to, that I have, you know, began to operate in. So let's go to this real quick. It's ultimately just a conversation until we put the dedication or the commitment behind it, just as it would be with exercise or any of those things that I mentioned that people usually gravitate towards when they're doing their quote-unquote New Year's resolution. The reason why they are targeting those areas, again, is because they recognize that there is a specific place that they need to be producing in. So they need to declare it and then walk it out in order to produce it. Now, I'm believing tonight that the Father's going to give us the dedication that we need tonight to really begin to walk out the things that he's been speaking to us. But whatever you've been called to, consecrate it. This is what he's been speaking to me over the course of this week. Whatever you've been called to, consecrate it. What does that mean? Put the dedication behind it that's necessary. So, see, I can do a thing all the time but not be dedicated to it. People are in marriages but are not dedicated to their marriage. And because they're not dedicated to the marriage, there's no growth, there's no flourishing, there's no blossoming. But the thing that you prioritize, the thing that you committed to, the thing that you make of value to you, that's the thing that you're dedicated to, and that's the thing that you're consecrating. That's the way that you're consecrating, because you are putting your energy behind that thing because it's of value to you. You understand what I'm saying? You're making it a priority. You're giving it your dedicated attention, okay? Again, like exercise produces results as you dedicate or consecrate, then purpose is revealed. Okay, the purpose of which you're doing the thing is revealed. And, you know, sometimes we hear these words and we over-spiritualize the words that we're hearing when they have such practical value. Yes, they are spiritual things, but spiritual things have practical value. Okay, they have practical value. And we've got to learn how to put these things in practical perspective so that we can actually do them. Okay, let's start a consecration date. I want to give you the quote that the Father gave me for day 8, which is today. He said, consecration produces an understanding of your royal identity, a divine authority that causes you to acquisition lands and territories, overthrow diabolic systems, identify and dispossess adversaries, and take spoils. Now, that's a mouthful, but I want to take you back to the top. Consecration produces. Let's just start with that. Consecration, your dedication, your attention to the details is what's going to produce a thing. In this case, he's saying on day 8 that it produces an understanding of your royal identity. Now, when you understand who you are, when you understand the divine authority that's been given to you, then it positions you for acquisition. You then know, or then you can remember what he stated to Adam in the garden, which was, I need you. I'm putting you in this place. It's already thoroughly furnished, okay? And I need you to dress and keep it. I need you to cultivate it and protect it. I need you to cultivate it and to watch over it, okay? And in doing so, there's going to be a multiplication, okay? He said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish. These are a lot of words here. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. That means to bring, restore something, to bring it, to bring a thing back into to being. It's like a cycle. So like when the grass is doing its thing outside, I'm a person that likes really green grass. So if I need to replenish my grass, that means I am going outside to do something to the grass. Is going to bring it back to a natural to its state, to the state that I want it to be in. Okay, if I want to replenish lush grass, and I have to do the things or take the steps that bring it back to that again state, plenish, meaning to provide or to produce over again. And so I have to bring it back to that place by something that I'm doing. So consecration first produces, but what it produces is an understanding of identity. And once you have an identity, that divine authority that you identify with causes you to acquisition some things. The Father is declaring that we're going to acquisition lands and territories. That's not just a physical station, but that is a relational station. And to also overthrow diabolic systems. Now, we're living in an age where the adversary is just really just kind of running rampant. He's just kind of doing his thing. And these things that I'm calling diabolic systems are things that have been established from the beginning. Just like the Father established some things from the beginning that pertain to how mankind was supposed to function and how to operate, the adversary from the beginning, also, you know, from his beginning, in the fallen state, began to declare and to set up systems to overthrow. Just like we're going to overthrow diabolic systems, the adversary is seeking every day to overthrow divine systems, okay? But what we're doing in this season is the Father is showing us the plan of the adversary. He's given us insight into the plans of the adversary so that we will know how we're supposed to be set up, how we're supposed to move, the strategy, the blueprint, what we need to do to move into our proper position so that that authority that we're moving in can bring an overthrow to that system. Now, I'm going to give you just one, and we'll probably repeat this. I may repeat it once I get down to that in my notes. But I want to bring to your attention just one of the things or one of the instances where a son overthrew diabolic systems. Okay, let's look at Noah for a hot second. Noah's in the earth along with all of these other, I don't know if there were millions of people at that time, but just a whole lot of people in the earth, right? Well, what had happened in that time, which is no different than now, that's why the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man appears. That's why it says that, because in that day, they were not only marrying and giving in marriage, you know, they were kind of moving. That phrase is like they're moving as if there's nothing going on. That's the phrase. It's not that they're marrying and being given in marriage, because this is important that there be a marrying, but we got to identify what this marriage and this marrying is about. You have to realize that in this time, the adversary who was cast down, as well as those that came with him, a third of those angelic agencies, these are watchers. Now they're in the earth and they are reigning terror on the earth, right? Adam has given over the keys to the adversary, and now the adversary is trying to rule and reign with these ideas and concepts that he is proposing in the earth towards mankind. The first idea that he's proposing is this mixture of demonic or diabolic seed with this original seed, and this is what he was all about, okay? I'm not going to go back to Adam and Eve and that whole conversation about Cain and Abel, but that's something for you to look into. But it's something that the adversary has always desired to perpetuate, the contamination of the seed. So what does he do? He's always seeking to deal with the DNA of mankind, always. That's always been his MO. When you look at the scripture, you'll notice that there is a conversation about the watchers on Mount Hermon, and it says that they saw the women, that they were fair, and they they began to select out of those women those that they would copulate with or sleep with to produce this seed. And this is where we got the giants from. So I don't know if you've heard me have this conversation about the giants, but we are still in the age of giants. That has really never changed. And now it's so undercover that it's often that people are oblivious to the fact that the giants still exist. I mentioned it the other day. We've got corporate giants. We've got big pharma giants. We've got media giants. We've got all kinds of giants going on. And it's not, I don't believe, just a happenstance that that would be the conversation, because you have to understand that those areas that I named are areas that darkness rules in. Okay? So let's look at this. Noah is one of these that consecrated himself. I'm going back to this. He had to give attention to some detail so that he could produce something. Okay? Noah is one of these examples that is one that overthrows diabolic systems. He is given an instruction. First of all, he's consecrated. He is dedicated to the relationship between himself and the Father. Okay? And in that dedication, he has not allowed himself and is not allowing himself to be contaminated with whatever is going on in the culture. Now, understand, one of the reasons why the Father chose him as his vessel in that moment was because the word says that he was an upright, he was a perfect man. Now, that word perfect does not mean that he never misstepped perfect means. It means that he was not contaminated, that his DNA had not been compromised. Okay? And so this is why the Father chose him, because he wanted to have a people that were uncontaminated, take them and start all over again, which is what he, you know, which is what he did in flooding the earth, flooding all the plant life, all of the animal life, because the watchers had contaminated everything. They had messed with the plants, and we know that that's a thing, because that's where pharmakia or pharmacies get their ideas or their concepts from. They take natural things and they twist them, they contort them, they contaminate them, and then they represent them to a people that are now ingesting them and are now compromised, because it's not the natural state of the thing, but now it is the contaminated state of the thing, which is what affects the bodies of people. Okay, so he was not contaminated. He's overthrowing these diabolic systems, and the Father chose him, and he's causing him to build something. He's giving him an instruction. In that instruction, he gives him the dimensions for the ark. In this instruction, he gives him all that he needs. He tells him, listen, the animals are going to come to you by two. He's given him the whole layout of how to get them on the ark, et cetera, et cetera. And so believe it or not, I am certain that he's picking those animals that are needful to be there, so that there will be a regeneration on the other side of this thing, and that regeneration will not be of contamination. Now, of course, I'm not going to get into the detail of how things got shifted, because we know that Noah's son, right, whose son was cursed because of his behavior. So there had to have been something going on with his seed that was not going on with him that came over on that ship, that came over on that boat. There was some form of engagement or contamination that came over. Nonetheless, Noah overthrew the diabolic system of his day, okay, by following the instruction, by first consecrating himself to follow the instruction that the Father gave him. And in that dedication to that consecration, it produced the ark, which was his deliverance from the destruction that was coming to the rest of the earth. Okay, so overthrowing diabolic systems, identifying and dispossessing adversaries, and taking spoils. We could go down that line as well, the identifying and dispossessing of adversaries. We could look at David for that, identifying and dispossessing adversaries. Well, it was a well-known fact to all of the army of Israel that Goliath was an enemy or an adversary to Israel. However, it was David that identified to dispossess him, to take him off of his high horse, to knock him off of his square, okay? And then the taking of spoils. David's another good example of taking spoils, although Abraham was also a good example. He went to war, and then he took the spoils, and He gave it out to his people. He didn't want anything to do with it. That was when he met Melchizedek, that whole nine. David, also another good example of spoils and taking spoils, how he would go to war, and the spoils of war he would bring back. So this is where the Father is calling us to, okay, to this consecration that produces an understanding, first of our identity and our authority, all right? And this is important that we understand that. Consecration is a dedicated act of faith, okay, to materialize a particular outcome. We kind of talked about the resolution piece already, but we're going to go back through that just for a hot second. Consecration is a dedicated act. It's an act of faith, okay? Consecration, you're not dealing with the thing because you already possess it tangibly. You're dealing with the thing in the way that you're dealing with it because consecration says to you, there's an understanding that this is your right, okay? This is your inheritance. And so when you're dedicating yourself to a thing, it's because you believe that you should do this for these outcomes, okay? Whether it's a relationship, whether it's music, whatever it is, your career, whatever it is, you're dedicating yourself to this thing. You're consecrating. You're setting yourself apart in this thing for this thing to produce something, okay? There's an outcome that you are after. So the forefathers produced promise because they dedicated themselves to the relationship with the Father. We already talked about knowing the ark. We talked a little bit about Abraham. He produced, by faith, he produced the promise because he dedicated himself to the relationship with the Father. The Father said, come out of your country. Come out of your father's house. Come away from that place, and I'm going to take you to a land that you don't know anything about. So it's not about what you already have a complete and total idea of, what you have a complete and total location on. It's the fact that he's going to deposit something in you and then give you a dedication and a desire or a drive to follow that thing through. You don't always have an understanding of exactly all that this encompasses. Like, Father, what, like, okay, I'm going with what you're saying, but I can't see every detail. And he's like, that's where we have to trust him. That's what the consecration is about, the relationship that says, listen, I am setting myself apart for this thing that you have called me to. I'm going to give my attention to it because I know that you're calling me to it to produce something. And so oftentimes when we're called to these kind of places, there's an uneasiness or there may be an extra weight that comes with that because we really like to know all of the details, but the Father is not always giving us all of the details. It's really about consecration that is dedicated to the faith of a thing. Okay, I believe that this is what I'm hearing. I believe that this is what I'm seeing. And because I believe that this is the resolution to a problem, that I'm going to dedicate myself to not only have the conversation, but to begin to walk it out so I can get to the manifestation of it. Okay, so whatever you dedicate yourself to, you will produce the outcome for. And we talked about this just a little bit. So here's an example. Dedication to prayer produces the outcome of answers, okay? We're going to go down this line because this is, again, what consecration is about. It's about instruction, right? So when we're consecrating, we're setting ourselves apart in prayer. That dedication to prayer is the thing that produces the outcome, which is the answers, okay, or the instructions. And the declaration to carry out the answer produces, or the dedication, I'm sorry, the dedication to carry out the answer produces the outcome of success in whatever area it is. So let me go back over that. Here's the thing that most religious people get stuck on. I'm going to give you a place where religion can get you stuck at, because you're so dedicated to prayer that even if you're hearing something, you don't cease from the prayer place and get to the answer place that he's giving you and then begin to walk that out. You'll just really continue to go back into prayer over and over again as if prayer is the solution. Prayer produces the solution, and then you get, you know, you connect yourself to that solution, or you receive the solution by walking it out, dedicating or consecrating yourself to the solution for the manifestation of the thing, okay? And that's what's going to produce the outcome of success in whatever area it is that you went into prayer for. Okay, so Daniel. Daniel's in prayer. 21, he starts on day one in prayer, and the Bible declares that the angel, when he finally gets to Daniel 21 days later, says, Daniel, the first day you prayed, the answer was released, right? The answer was released, but his dedication to receiving the answer is what caused the angelic agencies to break through, because there was an interruption in him getting the answer. There was a prince of Persia that was withholding the answer. He was trying to hold back the answer. He was fighting against the messenger that was to bring the answer, but it was Daniel's dedication in the place of prayer, okay, that allowed him to receive that information, to get the instruction so that he would know how he's supposed to function concerning the instruction, okay? So many will commit or dedicate to the prayer regimen, but what takes it from a religious ritual, what makes the difference between it being a religious ritual and a relationship is the relational aspect. It's the responsibility that one is taking and responding to the conversation. So we never go into prayer or into conversation with the Father and don't expect him to communicate with us. Actually, I teach this. The reason why we're having or engaging in conversations is because he's given us something to have a conversation about. You know, the Father never expects something from us that he hasn't already given to us. And you can look throughout scripture and realize that. You can look throughout your life and realize that. That anything that he's requiring from you is because he gave it to you. Okay? So even in the place of prayer, when you're beginning to have that declaration or that conversation, if you are praying, if you are divinely communicating, that's what I want to say. Now, diabolic communication is completely different. You can say whatever you want. You can feel whatever you want. You can throw out there whatever you want. But understand that all of the words that you release have a harvest, okay? So what we want to do is get to the place where we become like the master, which is what, you know, our life should be all about, is following the example that the master said. He said, I say nothing but what I hear my Father both say. That what I hear him say, he gives me what to say and to speak. I don't say anything but what I hear my Father saying, is what the master says. And he commands me both what to say and to speak. That includes the place of prayer. Okay? What we're saying to him is a result of the conversation that he wants to have with us. Have you ever woken up in the morning and there was something pressing on your heart and that's what you went to the Father with? He allowed that thing to be pressing on your heart because it was the introduction to the conversation that he wanted to have with you. It wasn't that you just came up with that on your own. No, it was a pressing issue on your heart, and that pressing issue was a result of him pressing or impressing upon you a conversation that he wanted to have. Okay, let's go to Abraham for a hot second. Abraham and Lot, they separated, they parted ways because their herdsmen were arguing because they had so much stuff, right? They went two different ways, right? The direction that Lot chose, Abraham went the opposite way. However, in a season, the Father comes to Abraham. He's not really like watching Lot. He's not trying to keep tabs on Lot. He's not doing any of that. But the Father brings a conversation to him, and he says, listen, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to destroy the place where your nephew is. And so I'm going to send angelic agencies to usher him out of there, to get him out of there so that he'll come to safety. He's having this conversation about with Abraham because he wants to have a conversation about a particular event, you know. And you'll notice that there's a whole dialogue between Abraham and the Father about Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham's conversation is, well, if there are so many in the land, would you not destroy it for that many? If there are five in the land, would you not destroy it for that many? If there are two, you know, he's going down this whole line of how many people, you know, would it take for you not to destroy the city? And the Father's saying, yeah, if it's this many, I won't destroy it. If it's that many, I won't destroy it. It comes down to the fact that there are not that many. And so after all this conversation, Abraham understands that the Father's going to destroy, but he's also going to remove his nephew and take him to a place of safety, right? So the Father's giving him this conversation. He's not just having a conversation on his own with the Father. It's the conversation that the Father brought to him that is inspiring the words that he's saying back to the Father. Is that making sense? So I want you to know that the adversaries of your soul are not going to make consecration easy for you. They're not going to make consecration easy for you And it's okay, because at the end of the day, what you have to have is a word. Once you have that word and you are settled on that word that you have heard, now you've got to dedicate yourself to the word that the Father has spoken to you. And I think that this is one of those areas where we can kind of hit that wall. You know, we're hitting that wall and we're feeling like, well, I tried this before and I tried that before. And, you know, you're saying to yourself, well, it didn't seem to work, or the outcome happened like this. So I just believe that just because it happened like that, then that's what it was supposed to be, and all of these things. And the Father's saying, no, you didn't dedicate yourself to that. You know, and until you dedicate yourself to a thing, until you make a thing a priority, then you never will see, you'll never see the production that that thing's supposed to have, because you've not dedicated yourself to it. So you'll never produce from that thing what you could produce, because you've not dedicated yourself. You've not prioritized. It's not of value to you yet, okay? And so when you think about the adversary not making it easy, I often think about the Hebrew children in Egypt, right? Okay, so they cry out. And when they cry out, the Father hears their cry. And he raises up, he's already raised up a deliverer. That deliverer was born for the purpose of bringing them out of their captivity, which was prophesied way before Moses was ever born, okay, that they would be in captivity and that there would be a time of them coming out of that captivity. Even so much so that when Joseph died, remember Joseph, he was in Egypt and he was the second in command. And the king said to him, only in my throne am I greater than you, right? Which often for me resembles the relationship between us and the Father. He says, only in my throne am I greater than you. In other words, I possess the throne. I will always possess the throne. The instructions that I give you, I'm authorizing you to do a work in the earth on the behalf of the kingdom. Okay, and so only in my throne am I greater than you, but I need you to understand that your greatness is a result of what I'm authorizing you to do. So Joseph, I want you to remember, Joseph says to them, when you leave Egypt, he's prophesying, he's given the same prophetic word that his father gave to him, that when I die, carry me out of here and take me back to the place of promise, which is where they came from to get to Egypt, right? That's where God stuck. But nonetheless, Joseph says, when I die, he said, no, when you leave here, he knows that he's getting ready to die. He says, when you leave here, carry my bones from this place. This is a prophetic word that is over the people, that they understand we're going to leave here one day. Now, that took generations before they left, but that conversation or that consecration, that dedication was handed down throughout the generations. And this is one of the things that I think is really missing. It's one of the things, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking about how the Father felt about Abraham. And he said, I know Abraham by name. He said, I know Abraham by name because I know that he's going to teach his children after him. We're talking about this consecration or this dedication that's passed down through generations. How in the world, all those generations removed from Joseph's kingship, do we have an understanding that the bones of Joseph are to leave Egypt? Because there's a conversation that's handed down, this dedication in this conversation, this consecration, it is passed down through generations. And they know when we leave here, we got to take these bones out of here. This is one of the areas that the Father's calling us into consecration for, because he wants us to identify the fact that the adversary has been dedicated to his craft. He's been dedicated. He's been determined to pass down throughout the generations this diabolic desire, this diabolic system and this strategy to contaminate the seed. And we are literally in the throes of this thing as I am speaking. And I'm wondering where my time clock is, because I don't see it on my page. Wow. I'm praying that you guys can hear me. I really am praying that you can hear me. But here's the thing. Maybe it won't show up. It usually shows up, but maybe it's not going to show up for some time. And maybe I need to find it, because I need to keep up with what's going on timeline here. But the thing about it is that the adversary has passed down through generations his desire. And what happens in families is that we are not dedicated enough to whatever it is that the Father has called us to. And so in not being dedicated, first of all, not having a location on what he's called us to is a problem. because so many people do not have an identification on what the Father is calling us to. And that is crucial for every generation. Okay, I see something now. That is crucial for every generation. Do you hear me? That they would have a direction, that they would have a constitution or a consecration or a dedication, something that separates them from everything else that's going on, you know, in the earth. And that gives them a instruction that they are to follow. There are no instructions in families anymore. You know, it used to be the family business was the guiding principle, right? It was the guiding principle, 515. Okay, that's, yeah, it was the guiding principle. And so you knew you were going to train your children up. They're going to take over the family business. Now we are living in an age where people are like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to do something else. You know, just completely ignoring the inheritance that comes as a result of something that was built for the family, built for generations to be able to have a part in, to produce from, and to see the outcomes of that production in the earth. Nothing wrong with you having some more areas that you're called to, but never should you deny that original consecration, that original constitution. And this is why the conversations have to be had. I'm noticing that even in my family, there are some things that the Father has instituted in me, some things that he's, some directions that he's taken me. And I'm looking at my seed kind of follow that pattern. They're like, oh, I want to do this. So I'm, you know, it's no secret to me that the Father's simply perpetuating throughout the generation something that he began in me, you know, and that's how a thing should be. It should be a constant perpetuation of a thing. Well, it always is a constant perpetuation, but even in the fact that we see diabolic or dark things happening in families. But what I'm saying is that we have to give our attention to the consecration with the Father so that we can identify the direction and the instruction so that we can be the person that stops that diabolic system from being at work in our family line. Is that making sense? So I see that I got an eye on my time here now, and that's a cool thing. So the forefathers produced promise because they dedicated themselves to the relationship. We talked about quite a few forefathers. Many will commit or dedicate to the prayer regimen, and we talked about this, but what it takes from what takes it from a religious ritual to the relationship is the fact that you are responsible to produce something, that you understand the responsibility, the respondability to produce a thing and not just keep having a conversation, but to actualize the thing that's being discussed in the conversation. And so the Hebrew children, let's go back to them. We see the Hebrew children in Egypt. And when I'm saying the adversary of your soul is not going to make it easy for you, there are going to be challenges. When we're talking about consecration and preparation for wonders, there are always challenges, and that challenge is often whether you are able to be consistent in the thing that you're being called to, regardless of the opposition. There's always going to be opposition when there is a call for deliverance. There's always going to be opposition. So remember, Moses goes to Pharaoh, and he's having this whole conversation about let my people go, right? And on this one occasion, he has this conversation. Pharaoh decides, I'm going to make it even harder for the children of Israel. Well, there's a conversation that happens between Moshe or Moses and the children of Israel in the fact that they're saying, look and see what you've gone and done now. Now we're in this position and it's even worse off for us than what it was before because of your conversation, because you're saying a thing and because you're doing this thing, it's put us in a position. And here was the position. Now Pharaoh wants you to produce, but he's not going to provide for you the thing that you should, thank you, Elder, I love you so much. The thing that you should be producing is not going, you're not going to get the tools anymore that you need. You're going to have to go out and get your own tools. And so this is what kind of upset that cart. But I want you to understand that often before there is a deliverance, there is often some agitation. There's often a rubbing. There's often a friction, but that friction has come to sharpen you. It's not come to make you dull. Okay, as I'm looking at my surroundings, there are a lot of great things happening around me, but I'm looking at specific areas in my life and I'm like, ooh, that's a little tight. Ooh, that's looking like this. Ooh, that's looking like that. And if I give my my attention to those things, then I will miss being dedicated to the thing that he's called me to produce, the thing that he's calling me to produce. I'll give my strength and my attention to the thing that looks like it's being minimized, or the thing that I have put my faith in or my trust in other times. But he's saying, don't put your faith and your trust in what you can see. Put your faith and your trust in what I'm saying. I'm going to say that again. He said, don't put your faith and your trust in what the things are that you can see, because those things may look like something and they may not look like something. So if you're dealing with what a thing physically looks like, then you may be deterred from the dedication or the consecration that you need to have to produce something, because you're giving your affection, your value, and your attention to the thing that you are beholden to that's tangible to you right now, not understanding that the thing that you need to give your attention to is the place that you're going to be producing from, because that's going to supersede what you're looking at now. That's the thing that's going to make that thing increase. That's going to make that thing bigger. The fact that you're dedicating to the instruction that he's giving you, not to the thing that you're looking at every day. So don't get distracted. I'm telling you, there will come a time when in that process or in that road, on that road to wonders, that consecration, that preparedness kind of becomes uncomfortable. You're looking around you and you're saying, like, this doesn't look like what I think it should look like. I feel like that should be this and this should be that. And I had this, and if I had done this or if I had done that. And the Father is saying, listen, the way that you're going to get to production, you may go through a dry season. You may go through what it looks like to be a wilderness situation, but understand that is the preparation for the promised place. And all you have to do in the wilderness, we're just going to use the Hebrew children. All you have to do in the wilderness is follow the instruction. All they had to do was follow instruction, and everything that the Father had already prepared for them. Understand, they're being kept in a wilderness, and there are a lot of creatures in the wilderness that could be their destruction, right? But the fire by night and the cloud by day to keep them from the heat of the sun, that fire by night to keep the wild animals away. There's a protection. There's a hedge that is around them to prevent them from being accosted by the things that could naturally accost them in this position. So I'm telling you that no matter what you're looking at that's looking like, it's not what you want it to be. No matter what you're looking at that's looking like, I don't have the status, or I'm not looking like I'm in the position to do this or that. Don't worry about that. Understand that in this wilderness place, your simple line of or your path is to follow the instruction. And I feel the Holy Ghost right now, because he's speaking to me just like he's speaking to you. Don't look at what you see. Don't look at what you see with your natural eye. Behold the thing that he's spoken to you and follow the instruction, because, you know, they didn't think it was going. They didn't understand what rain was. They understand this thing that Noah was building. It was a thing that they had never seen before. And they're like, why are you doing that? What is this thing, this contraption that you're building? What are you talking about? It has never rained before. They don't even know what rain is. And so even as he's trying to explain, they're discounting it, because all they know is what they have tangibly been accustomed to. What has tangibly been the thing that's been their resource or their identification on things. He's giving them something supernatural, something that's never happened before. And I'm telling you, we are in the hour of the things that's never happened before. There is such a transformation and such a transitioning of sons from this low place to the high place. Just even as Joseph was taken hastily from the prison, okay, and cleaned up and redressed to go before the king, just as swiftly as all of that happened. And they said, listen, make haste. Be quick about it, Joseph. The king is looking for you. I'm telling you, I'm prophetically speaking to you tonight to tell you, make haste. You're coming out of the prison situation. The king is expecting you in his presence. And when you come into his presence, you have to take your prison garments off. That's the mindset that you've been walking in. You have to take your prison garment off. That's the ideas and the concepts that you've been beholden to. You have to take your prison garments off. That's the place that you were put in that you didn't deserve necessarily to be there, but that your feelings may be connected to that prison place. You know, how you feel about being in there, how you feel about what was done to you. You got to take all of that off, because the king is requesting your presence. And when he requests your presence, you've got to clean yourself up. That's the consecration. We can see consecration throughout the scripture. I'm telling you, consecration, this dedication, this setting oneself apart is throughout the scripture. Joseph is just one example of consecration. Listen, pull yourself together because you've got to go before a king. Together, get yourself together, get your focus right. Don't focus on the prison anymore. Don't focus on your position in the prison. Don't focus on the fact that you were thrown in there. You don't have time to go over or to rehearse the fact that you were in the pit. You don't have time to go over and rehearse the fact that you were sold into slavery. You don't have time to go back and rehearse the fact that in that selling into slavery, you were lied on. You don't have time to rehearse the fact that you were thrown into a prison place, and then the people that you prophesied to, listen to me, the people that you spoke to, what you spoke to them actually came to pass. And the last thing that you said to them was, don't forget me. When you get to the place that I prophesied, when you get back into your position, don't forget about me. Remember to mention me. And for 2 years, they forgot. You hear me? The cupbearer forgot about Joseph. He got back in his position. I'm going to tell you right now, there are people that you have blessed in seasons prior that have literally forgotten about, that had literally forgotten about you. But this is the season of your remembrance, because there are things that people are going to need. This is the season of your remembrance, because there are things that people are going to need, and they're not going to find them or locate them anywhere else. Understand, Pharaoh, okay, had already tried to identify the meaning of this dream by using the resources that he already had available to him. The witches, okay, the warlocks, that's what I'm going to call them. They were the magicians, same thing, witches and warlocks, same thing. Magicians, right? The sorcerers, okay? He was trying to use the resources that he had available to him, but they were to no avail to him in that moment. And I'm telling you, Elder, you know this, we've been declaring the oil is in demand for years. This is the hour that the oil is in demand, and there are going to be people in high places. There are going to be people in positions of authority that will try to utilize the resources that they have available to them and the people that they already have access to, and they're not going to find any solution. They're not going to find any answer. And somebody that forgot about you, somebody that forgot about you in other seasons, you're going to become a priority in this season, because there's going to be a remembrance of you. There's going to be a remembrance of a word that you spoke. I got people calling me right now today that remember things that I said back when I was in my youth, in my younger years. And they're saying, you know, people thought you was tripping back then, sis, but right now I'm looking at the fruit of what you spoke even then. This is going to be a season where people realize that you was not on nothing, that you was not tripping, that you was not talking crazy. This was really a reality. There's going to be a remembrance of the sons in this season. I'm telling you. It's going to be a remembrance of the sons. The Hebrew children were upset because Moses was saying a thing. He was declaring a thing to power. He was speaking to power. And I'm telling you right now that this is the hour of us speaking to power. Now, in speaking to power, both spiritually and naturally, it may cause some upset for a moment. But understand, breakthrough is on the other side of the upset. You have to just go ahead and stick through it. You have to stick through it. You have to not give attention to the thing that is tangible to you right now. You have to stick to it. You cannot be weary in doing well. You cannot be weary in doing the right thing, because due season is on the horizon. Due season is on the horizon. Pharaoh made it harder for them. It was harder for them before it got easier for them. You hear me? It was hard for them because he said, I'm going to require you to keep performing for me the same thing you've always performed, but now I'm not going to provide for you the thing that helped you to produce. They're upset. They're like, Moses, listen, thanks a lot, right? Thanks a lot, because now you've made it difficult for us. But what they didn't understand was that the Father was positioning them in that difficulty. They were being prepared for something great. In that difficulty, they were being set up. And understand, Goshen, this place that Joseph had originally placed them in, was a place of cultivation. It was a place of cultivation. They were being cultivated for their deliverance. Okay, and there were things that were happening in the land of Egypt that were not allowed in the land of Goshen. They were not producing the same outcome in the land of Goshen. Why? Because those people were chosen. And because they cried out and a deliverer was sent, that deliverer paved the way for their breakthrough. And all they had to do was simply just follow the instructions. So we can see consecration throughout the script. As we look at the consecration, we can also see that consecration that happens on that final situation, the 10th plague, Exodus 11, right? It's the firstborn being killed in Egypt, right? And the father says, here's how you're going to prepare yourself. This is how you're going to consecrate yourself in this situation. You are going to kill a lamb. You're going to kill this lamb, and he gives the instructions for what kind of lamb it needs to be, how old it needs to be, what needs to happen. And you're going to smear the blood on the post of the door, on the doorpost, right? You're going to smear the blood, and then you're going to go into the house, and you're not going to come out until after all of this thing is over, until this thing has passed. That's where Passover began, right? Until this thing has passed over, you're not to come out. Had they not followed the instruction, then their firstborns would have been on the hit list as well. But because they were able to follow the instructions, the only cry that was coming out of the earth was from Egypt. A cry, the word says, that would never be heard, that was great and had never been heard in the earth before, would never be heard again like that. Okay? But it was the instruction to consecrate themselves. Again, set themselves apart. That was a dedication to an instruction that was given that protected them and their children. Okay? They had a word over their life, a word over their head that was spoken to them by the Father, given through Moshe to give to them. And it protected them in that hour. It protected them. Okay? So this is important. This is really important that we understand that consecration is about instruction. It's about dedicating ourselves to the instruction. We're talking about Joshua chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 5. He says, consecrate yourself today, for tomorrow I'm going to do wonders among you. You know, you don't get to the wonders until you get to consecration. You got to dedicate yourself to something. I can give you another newer example of consecration, right? What they call the New Testament, the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25, right? There is a conversation that's had with these servants, and then there is a responsibility that's given to them. And if they consecrate themselves, if they dedicate themselves to this thing that has been given to them, then they will produce. Well, the one didn't produce, the one that was given, and all of the talents were given according to their several ability, right? What the man knew that they were capable of, what the good master knew that they were capable of, is what he had endowed them with, what he had given them. And those that were capable and positioned themselves and consecrated themselves, meaning they dedicated themselves to producing something, they did that. They doubled what they had. But the one who did not consecrate himself, he did not dedicate himself to the thing that was given to him, he buried it. And there was no production from it, which caused him to go into weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'm really, help me, Holy Ghost, to have this conversation, because your issue is really not that you don't have the opportunity as a son. Your issue is really not that you've not been given a chance. Your issue is that you have not followed the instruction that was given by the Father. And until we follow the instruction, then we will not reap the benefits. The outcomes are a result of the income, okay? The incomes that we allow are the proof of our, they're proven in our outcomes, okay? Yeah. So it's important that we identify in this season the thing that the Father is instructing us to do. Man, there's so many things around us that we could give our attention to. So many distractions that are sent for our destruction. But if we can hear the instruction and dedicate ourselves to that instruction, then we are set up to produce, uncommonly produce. Are you understanding what I'm saying? To uncommonly produce. Father, we thank you tonight that you are helping us in our mind to identify what you're speaking to us so that we'll understand that our issue is not opportunity. Our issue is not chance, because it's you that's given us the power to get wealth. You've given us that power. You've given us that authority. But that authority that you've given us is based on the revelation of the relationship and the instruction that comes out of that relationship is the thing that we're going to have to get on in order to get to the destination. We're going to have to get on that instruction in the relationship. The instruction is going to get us to the destination that you're calling us to come to. Mm-mm-mm. You're calling us to a peculiar purpose. Mm-mm-mm. Just as you did with Abraham, a peculiar purpose. And the only way to that peculiar purpose is to leave some things behind, even as we just discussed about Joseph, not taking his feelings and his emotions and his disappointment and all of that to the palace. No, he had to go there with expectation because he was being expected. He had to have an expectation when he got there to be able to fulfill the thing that he was called to. One of the things that I love about Joseph is when he gets to the prison, when he gets to the palace, and Pharaoh begins to ask him or to inquire about his gifting and his ability and all of this, he says, listen, it's not me, but the Father's going to give you an answer. No, he's going to use me to give it to you, but it's going to be the Father that actually gives the answer. Come on. That's what your answer is going to be a result of. The Father's dedication to me in the relationship to provide an answer for you that positions me to fulfill the promise that he called me to. Oh, it's all so strategic. It's all so strategic. It's nothing that the Father is doing happenstance. It's not a happenstance. It's not by chance. It's not by any of that. This is all so strategic. Even right now, the thing that I was speaking of, that you're looking around in your environment and you're saying, this is minimal, that's minimal. I feel like I need to have this in order to do that. I feel like I need more of this in order to be comfortable. And Father's saying, no, you don't need any of that to be comfortable. What you need to settle in is the instruction that I gave you. And your focus needs to be completely on that instruction. And as your focus is on that instruction to begin to actualize that instruction, in that dedication to actualize that instruction, there's going to be such a production that comes out of the sons in this season. It's going to be absolutely mind-blowing. Can you imagine how mind-blowing it was for the Egyptians to see the Hebrew children that had been enslaved by their nation for 400 years? Wow. To just walk out. Not just walk out, but take stuff with them. Take your spoils, take your gold, take your jewels. They just walked out of here. Now, they've been our slaves for all of this time, and all of a sudden, they just walk out of here. They just waltz out of here. Can you imagine the awe of that nation? Not just in that fact, but in the fact when somebody came back to report that the whole army was just drowned. Can you imagine the awe of that? Like, they were so... Egypt was so in awe that this thing happened. Pharaoh had to say, you know what, let's get horses and chariots. We got to go recapture this. I don't even believe this thing happened like this. That's what it's getting ready to look like to the adversaries of your destination. I don't even believe this went down like that. I need to do this, that, and the other. So that's what the things that you're looking at in the natural. Those are the things that the adversary wants you to focus on. Listen, it's just a test. And the test is not the problem if you prepare for the test. What becomes the problem is how you see the test. That's the warfare. And as the Hebrew children are standing at the Red Sea, as they're standing at this place and they hear the hooves of the horses, they hear their captors coming for them, right? The warfare is in how they're considering what could potentially happen to them in this moment. They have negated the fact that they just walked out of Egypt with all the possessions of the Egyptians, and they are now getting in a position to go across these. They don't know that they're going to cross the waters, but what I'm saying is they've crossed the threshold of from slavery to freedom, and it's something about freedom that just makes, you know, you can just feel yourself when you get into that freedom place. I've been telling people, I can smell and I can taste this victory that I'm coming into is that close to me. Like it's in my airspace. I promise you, it's in my airspace. I can smell the smell of victory in this season. I can smell and I can taste and I can hear the sound of the victory that's coming into my life. And it's not just coming into my life, but it's coming into the lives of the sons that are across the face of the earth. Don't fret because of the evildoers. Don't fret because of what's being done. Understand there's a season that the Father is sealing his sons, and there are things that are being pushed back. I know that you're hearing the conversation of the adversary about these pharmakia. We know what pharmakia is, right? This injection thing that they're trying to do to you, right? We're hearing those things. I know we're hearing all this conversation about this plague that's happening, but understand the Father said that 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come nigh my dwelling. Only with my eyes will I behold the outcome of the wicked. Listen, you got to understand that there are some things that are happening around you that are not meant for you. I'm going to say that one more time. There are things happening around you that are not meant for you. Even those things that you're looking to right now that you're feeling like are minimal, that's not meant for you. The greater is what's meant for you. That minimal is all the Father needs to produce something great. He always takes the small thing. He never takes a thing because it's already so great that he wants to make it great. No, he takes the thing that seems insignificant. He takes the thing in its rawest, most beggarly state, and then he produces something absolutely tremendously great from it. Okay? And so no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're looking at that it seems minimal, understand you're going to give that. You know, you give that to the Father. You say, okay, this is what I have to work with. I'm giving that to you. Okay? If it's your relationship, if it's your finances, if it's your career, whatever it is, whatever it is. Listen, Father, this is what I have to work with. This is all I have to work with, and I'm giving it to you, and I guarantee you, if you just give that thing to him and you focus on the instruction that he's giving you, you're going to produce in a way that's just going to blow the mind of men. That's what the Father is about in this season. He's about blowing the mind of men. Consecration. It's a dedication to the instruction that the Father will give us, so that we can move into the promised place. It's an amazing place to live. It's an amazing place to be. Come on. And I want you to know that whatever the Father is dedicated to, that's the thing that flourishes and produces. He's dedicated to his word. You know that, right? The word says that he follows after his word, or he chases after his word to perform it. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word. See, his word is a priority, and because he prioritizes that word, because he makes that word the priority, when you make that word the priority, you're going to receive the benefits, because that's the thing that he follows after to perform. Okay? When you look at the proceeding word, that word pro means forward. That's the suffix that's after that, the proceed, the seeding place, meaning to yield or to surrender. So it's a forward yielding. The word of the Father gives us a forward yielding, meaning a yielding in your future. Like when you plant a seed, the word is a seed. When you plant that seed, there's a forward yielding. There's a yielding in the future. There is a production that comes out of that. And this season, again, is all about instructions. It's about availability to be led. It's about availability to be led. Okay? And we've got to allow ourselves to be led. We cannot just continue in this way that we've been going, where we've been kind of beholden to our own ideas and our own concepts about areas and things. I promise you, the Father really broke me down in this season. You know, there were some concepts and some ideas that I had about some things, and I'm saying, like, Father, I don't know how that could be. There were some things that I, you know, kind of felt about some things, and it was the Father that had given me those desires and that heart position. But I was arguing with the heart position because of what I believed I saw. And the Father was like, don't give yourself to what you think you see. Give yourself to what you hear me say. And that's the thing that we've got to tap into in this season. What is he saying to us? And once we get our focus on what he's saying, you know, we want to partner with people that are hearing from him, because that's when we get to this place where the imagination of our heart, based on what he's saying, is not impossible. It's absolutely possible as we're joining forces across the earth based on what the Father is saying. You know, what is his desire? What is his instruction? And we're joining forces, and we are moving in a place and in a way that says everything that we put our hand to is possible because he said it. I mean, it seems far-fetched, some of the stuff. If you literally said this to people, some of the things that the Father said to you, and I'm speaking to sons right now who are manifesting ones, you understand what I'm saying? If some of the things that you have heard the Father say to you, you repeated them to people, they would want to put you in a straitjacket. They would want, just no different than Joseph. His father said, don't say that no more. You know, his brothers hated him because of his dream. Why? Because they couldn't fathom what he was saying. So we're going to bow to you one day? Is that what you're saying? You know, that's where we at with this. They couldn't conceptualize it. They couldn't understand it. He wasn't being funny. He wasn't trying to be better than anybody. It was just the favor that was on his life that was producing this vision that he had. It was showing him a direction, showing him an imagination, okay? And he made it all the way to that place. He made it all the way to that destination that was given to him. But how he got there was through some friction. It was through some friction. It was through some uncomfortability. Everything wasn't comfortable for him to get to the palace. See, a lot of times, as it pertains to religion, what we're dealing with is this concept or this idea that everything is supposed to feel good to us. It's supposed to seem okay to us. It's supposed to make us comfortable. It's supposed to, you know, no, it's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some inconvenience. There's going to be some uncomfortability. There's going to be some challenge to this thing. But you've got to stand your ground. You've got to be dedicated to the thing that was spoken to you in order to see it through. Noah was accosted those 120 years that he had dedicated to building this thing that the Father told him to build. He was fought the whole way. They were like, this guy is losing his mind. What is this thing that he's building and what is he talking about? Are you listening to me? What is he building and what is he talking about? There was friction there. But guess what? When that day of deliverance came, once that door closed, he was in it and it wasn't going to be reopened. The Father is opening doors that no man can close, and he's closing doors that no man can reopen. Do you hear me? There's a chapter of your life that's being closed even as I'm speaking. Speaking to sons right now, there are chapters of your life that are being closed right now as I'm speaking that will never be reopened again. There will be some things that you never revisit again. I myself am walking through some doors right now where I'll never revisit some of the pain, some of the suffering, some of the agony in some of the areas of my life. I'll never re-enter those places again. Why? Because there have been some things that have been set up for me, and following the instruction in this season is producing a place that I never have to go back through those doors again. The Father has closed those doors for me. He's closed those doors, and he's opened a door, a great and effectual door. He's opening great and effectual doors for us to walk through. They're going to make the kingdom message heard. It's going to make the kingdom visible to people. It's going to make the Father's desire towards the people be understood, to be seen. It's going to be seen through you because of where you came from, because of your testimony, because of your conversation about the things that you've walked through, you know, because of the manifestation of who you have become in spite of all the opposition that you faced. You're still here, and it's not by chance. It's by purpose that you're still here. Listen, I love you tonight. I'm excited to be here, and I'm hoping that some of the things that I've said to you tonight have actually put you in a position in your heart and in your mind to understand your consecration is about your dedication to the instruction. And I want to say this before we leave here. That means you're going to have to dedicate yourself to the conversation. Yeah, that's what consecration is about. It's about the conversation, the divine conversation with the Father that's going to produce the instruction that's going to take you to the destination. You're going to have to commit to the conversation in this season. And as you commit to that conversation and you receive the instruction out of that conversation and you dedicate yourself to that instruction that's given, that's where the production is going to come from in every area of our lives. Yep. These things that we've seen, these enemies that we have seen prior to today, we're crossing a sea and we'll see them no more. We're crossing a place that we'll never face those same adversaries. Or we'll face other adversaries. Yes, we will. But the thing that you can be sure of is that when he, because he's brought you out of that situation, that there's no situation that you're facing where there's an enemy concern, that the Father will not bring you out. And he proves it by all of the things that he's already brought you through, all of the things that he's already brought you out of, is the proof that he's going to continue to go before you and to fight for you, that there will be no adversary that is able to ride in over your head, because you have a word from the Father that declares that you are the head and not the tail. You have a word from the Father that declares you're above only and not beneath. You have a word from the Father that declares your position as a son is inheriting this position of royalty, is inheriting this seated position in heavenly places that's far above principalities and powers and over all the powers of darkness. You got to behold to that. You got to dedicate yourself to that word in this season to see the production of it. I'm encouraging you to do so. Listen, we'll be back Monday. We'll be back Monday. And I'm excited to come back Monday and share with you further this consecration, the preparation for wonders. Man, the Father's, he's really set us up. He set us up for something great. And all of the things that we would to complain about in this season, all of the things that the enemy would try to use to discourage us or to make us doubt or be down or whatever those things are that are trying to change your worship or your position of thankfulness or your position of praise, just turn right back to that place of praise. Turn right back to that place of thanksgiving. Turn right back to that place of joy, okay? Don't let the enemy steal your joy in this season because of what you see. Maintain your joy, because your joy is not based on what you see, but it's based on what you heard. Yeah. When you hear that the outcome is going to be this, that, or the other, and it's in your favor, then that's when you rejoice. You don't rejoice after the outcome happens. You rejoice because it's happened already, because you already know that this is what's going to take place. Listen, we're in a fixed fight. This is a fixed fight. You hear what I'm saying? This is not something that you have to, you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory in this time. So no matter what you're looking at, and I know I keep saying that, but for some reason, that thing is weighing on me tonight, because I know what I was dealing with before I got on the line tonight. There were some things that I was looking at, and I was like, wow, Father, really? This is what we've come to. And he said, exactly what we've come to, because I want you to come to the end of you and what you think is what you need to do what I'm calling you to do, because I want you to dedicate yourself to this thing that I'm calling you to, or these things that I'm calling you to, because I want you to produce from that place. I want you to produce from that place. I don't want you to think that you're going to produce from this place, or the places that you've been accustomed to producing from. You know, I want you to produce from the place that I'm speaking to you now. And that's the instruction that I'm giving you. Do you know that one word from the Father can change the course of our whole life? One word, one idea, one word, one invention, one concept, one, just one thing. And he's really trying to push us into this place where we really take him seriously, that the thing that he's releasing to us is not just about him having a conversation. It's about us putting legs to the conversation that he's having with us. And that's the thing that he's after. Yep. That's the thing that he's after. He's pushing us. And so that's why the things around us seem like they're dwindling down, whether it's your bank account, whatever it is, seems like it's just kind of fading. Things are dwindling. You don't see how you're going to get out of this situation. You don't see how you're going to make it to the destination that he's communicating with you right now, because he's like, I don't want you to focus on none of that. All I want you to focus on is what I said. And if you just believe what I said, if you just behold to what I said, I promise you that there is production on the other side of this thing. I promise you there's production. And I'm going to do the thing that I'm telling you to do is the thing that I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do tonight. I love you so much, and I appreciate you. I'm thankful that you were here with me tonight. Go ahead and share the broadcast and let people know that we're going to be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the next couple of weeks, sharing this conversation about consecration, the preparation for wonders. And we're going to see you Monday. You guys have an amazing weekend, and continue to prepare yourself. Continue to follow the instruction that the Father is giving you. I pray for you now that you receive strength in your heart and your mind. I pray for you that you allow the Father the strength in your hands for this season that you're coming into, so that the production is sustainable, that you're not just, you know, speaking or saying a thing and not willing to put the legs to it, and then you kind of see a little bit of production, but then you see a dwindle. No, this is going to be a sustainable situation. The thing that the Father's calling us into is going to be very sustainable because our focus is the instruction. And all we have to do is follow instructions. That's where the blessing comes from. It's from us following the instructions. I love you so much. Peace to your house. Listen, if you want to connect with us, you can do that by going to officialkingdomambassadors.com. That's our website. You can go there. You can shoot us an email at kingdomambassadors247@gmail.com or just communicate with us there on the website. You can do that. We have a lot of content on a lot of different platforms. Facebook is one of them. You can find me there, Crystal Lee or Apostle Crystal Lee, KristalLee. You can find us on YouTube under Rock Mogul. You can find us there or under The Wham Project, which is our old YouTube channel from a long time ago. Of course, you know, you can find us here on Blog Talk. There are tons of conversations that you can flip through here on Blog Talk. And hear what the Father is saying, but we're in a very strategic hour, and I'm excited about us seeing the manifestation of the strategy that the Father has given us to act out, not just to hear it, but to act it out. All right, we'll see you Monday. Peace to your house. Listen, the body is not a me thing, it's a we thing, and we'll talk to you real soon. Peace.